At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Andrew McGann. That's who we're talking about. When we left off our conversation the other day with Robin Drake, we were talking about the man at the center of this, Andrew James McCann, or as so carefully worded at the first release of the Arkansas Police, they called him James Andrew McGann. But it's Andrew James McCann, just so everybody's on the same page. And the not guilty plea that, on its face, feels completely at odds with what police say they already have on him. But there's another side to the story, one that's less about him and an individual, and more about the way this case is being handled, and how that handling is already shaping the public's perception. Because here's the thing, when you look down a case this tightly, closed-door hearings, no cameras, no public gallery, minimal official updates, you might think you're protecting the integrity of the investigation, but in the real world, what you're doing is creating a vacuum. And vacuums get filled, not with facts, but with speculation, with half-truths, with conspiracy theories that sprout like weeds in the cracks left behind by silence. We've seen it before. The early days of the Koberger case, where law enforcement kept such a tight lid on information that the internet went into overdrive, inventing its own version of events. Suddenly, you had wild theories about drug rings, bizarre relationships, even outright fabricated witness accounts. It became a mess that families had to publicly clean up themselves. And when the police, who have the real information, refuse to say anything, they lose control of the narrative almost instantly. In Devil's Den, we're already seeing the warning signs. The community is on edge, the victim's family is grieving, and yet the most basic parts of the legal process, arraignment plea, are happening in rooms the public can't see. That kind of secrecy doesn't build trust, it corrodes it. That's why we're diving in now with retired FBI Special Agent and Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Drake. And you know what? The guy knows a thing or two about building trust with people. In fact, he wrote a book about it, The Code of Trust. There's that one. Unbreakable Alliances. Sizing people up. he knows a thing or two on this topic. So, I don't know, might be worth listening to and taking and heeding his advice. He's got some reps. This part of our conversation isn't just about McGahn's possible mental state or the why behind his actions. It's about the system's responsibility to keep the public informed without jeopardizing the case. Where's the balance between protecting a prosecution and protecting a community from the chaos of rumor? And maybe the bigger question in a case this strange, does closing the blinds completely make people safer, or does it just make them more afraid? Robin, you've been on both sides of this, inside investigations and now watching from the outside. When you see a case locked up this tight, what's your first thought?
Yeah, the interesting thing that Douglas is talking about in cases like this, where and juries are always looking for, and we're always looking for, you and I talk about all the time, is what was the motive? You know, what was the reason behind it? That is generally the most elusive thing for us to try to do and understand. But what we can identify is the intent. Mm-hmm. He intended to go out there and kill someone. But now we're just trying to figure out what was the reason and what spiked that what looks like some psychotic break to do that intent. But there's always an arc. There's always something. There's always it's just not randomly. Things just don't random hit someone's brain that says, all right, I'm going to go out on a hot day in a black outfit with a big old backpack with a knife, and I'm going to find people to kill. You know, that happened.
And it was just those two. He didn't, like, keep stabbing other hikers.
Yeah, I know. And why not the other people on the trail?
Yeah.
There's just – I'm so curious on this because we have so – because, again, I think this goes to the challenges that you faced at the very beginning of this and everyone in the area faces that there's been so little information being shared by law enforcement on this, lack of transparency in a lot of areas, that it's hard for, you know, folks like us to kind of come in and try to assess what's going on for the purpose of allowing people to feel safe with some people around you. Because this one, this is a puzzler still to me.
And what's weird, what I don't like about this either is how close to, number one, they played this damn thing too close to the vest to begin with and made a community feel terrorized and then got mad at us for reporting news. The other part about this that gets me is, okay, all of the hearing, the initial hearing, and then the pleading, all closed door, no public, no media, no cameras, nothing. It was the judge and him. I don't like that. And not just because this is what we do for a living and I like to be able to share what we're finding. This is something that happened to this community. These are supposed to be things that are out there in the open. The community has a right to know what the hell's going on and see these things take place. I'm very concerned that this is going to be one of those super locked down cases where if this isn't out there in the public, if the public doesn't have more information, you're going to get speculation. You're going to get conspiracy theories. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. And I'm going to say right now, if you don't want a ton of conspiracy theorists coming into your town and making life hell, I would suggest being a little more transparent. Not that you listen to me or give a shit. But I would suggest a little more transparency on this for the sake of the community that's enduring this. Because people have a right to know. Now, do your investigation, do all that. I get it. Things will come out. There's going to be a gag order, I'm sure, very soon. But how tight this thing is feeling already, I don't like. Because it gets you, makes you question. It's already a strange enough case. Why? Why are we being so closed off on this and not showing the community our full hand on what this is about? Because it already doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's unusual. Early on in the Koberger case, they struggled with getting information out, and the amount of craziness and theories that were coming out about drugs in the house, about threesomes. I mean, there was all kinds of things that were getting spun out of control because no one came out. And again, I get the tight-lippedness of it, especially if you want to go for death penalty things. And a lot of times people, because the tenor I'm hearing is, well, they're not entitled to know because it's only professionals that get to do this. Dude, I've been doing this for 22 years, plus more since I retired. So I understand all these reasons, rationales behind why people don't want to share information.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the public perception is, and if you're going to allow the public to run away with conspiracy theories, you're destroying your potential pool of jurors because think about this. If you allow all these conspiracy theorists to come in and paint what they think had happened and conjecturize about X, Y, and Z, And that gains traction because what gains traction on whether it's the mainstream media or on podcasts like ours is unusual ideas. Mm-hmm. When unusual ideas or theories gain traction, you no longer own any narrative and you don't even have to say anything. You mm-hmm. just come on and say, listen, here's the investigation. We can't say anything because we're going for this. We're trying to do this. We're protecting this. Just say we can't say, it's saying something. And that's what people are looking for. And then at the very least, you can shut down the crazy wackiness and theories that people are coming up with saying, nope, that's not it. That's not it. Because that's exactly what the conclaves were doing during the Koberger case. Yeah. You know, they actually got on, they hired their own lawyer to make sure people understood who their daughter was and wasn't. You know, same thing with Ethan and what he was and who he was. I mean, so the parents had to interject and actually take control of the narrative because our sphere of podcasters and mainstream media were running amok because law enforcement and people that were in a position of knowledge were not sharing anything. And so do you really want to place that burden on this family? You want to place that burden on his family. It's not fair to his family either. So, you know, get out there, take control of something. So, you know, you're saying that you're in charge and you're a leader. Be a leader. That's it. Just be a leader. Work the problem.
And I would hope they will. What you just heard isn't just commentary. It's a warning. Because if you've been following true crime for any length of time, you know exactly how this movie plays out when the people in charge keep their cards so close to the vest that the public starts making up their own deck. It turns into an information free-for-all, where the loudest voices win, not the most accurate ones. And once that narrative gets away from you, good luck getting it back. Robin's point about leadership sticks with me. Transparency doesn't mean splitting every investigation or spilling in every investigative detail, but it does mean showing the community that someone's steering the ship. A simple acknowledgement. We can't discuss specifics right now because of X, but here's what we can tell you. It goes a long way. Instead, what Devil's Den has right now is silence, and silence in the face of fear is gasoline on a fire. And it's not just about public comfort. If you let misinformation take root, you risk contaminating your own jury pool. The people eventually called to decide McCann's fate won't have been sitting in some hermetically sealed chamber for the past year. They'll have been online in the same swirling storm of rumor and speculation, and that's not hypothetical, it's reality. Then there's the other layer. The families, both the Brink's loved ones and the McCann's own relatives, are living in this same fog, watching strangers fill in the blanks with whatever makes this the most clickable theory. It's not fair to them, and it's not justice. And at the end of the day, you can't ask people to trust a process they can't see. The more unusual the case, and let's be honest, this one already breaks the mold in multiple ways, the more you need to give the public just enough clarity to stop them from investing and inventing their own answers. Because the longer you leave that door closed, the more tempting it becomes for someone to kick it open. So here's where we're at. McCann's next hearing is set for November. Whether we learn anything new, that depends entirely on whether this court decides to keep this behind closed doors approach. If they stick to it, expect the rumor mill to go into overdrive. And once that happens, the fight in the courtroom won't be the only battle this case has to survive. And that's why this isn't just about one defendant or one crime. It's about the cost of keeping the lights off when the whole town's already wide awake. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you'll find us. Or wherever you download podcasts, do that same search and press subscribe. We do greatly appreciate that. And let me know your thoughts, like I said, in the comments. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with three Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1, while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.